And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Everybody say Antichrist. A spirit of Antichrist is on the loose. A spirit of Antichrist is on the loose. A spirit that is against Christ. You can see it in people. You can see it in society. You can see it in governments. You can see it in religions. You can see it in school. There is a spirit that is against Christ. Why do you suppose prayer was taken out of our schools? Why do you suppose people worked so hard and campaigned and stayed up late at night and made phone calls and wrote letters and spent millions of dollars to take prayer out of our schools? Because there's a spirit that hates Christ. It's an antichrist spirit in the world. Because the Word of God is teaching us that. It's already in the world. And it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you. Now, who is He talking to here? He's talking about the people that have the Spirit of Christ in them. The Spirit of Christ in you. The Word of God teaches us that the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you and the Holy Ghost are interchangeable. When we talk about the Holy Spirit dwelling in the heart of an individual, we're talking about Christ dwelling in the heart of a person. This is completely backed up by the Word of God, unless you happen to pick up a book written by somebody inspired of the spirit of Antichrist. And there are a lot of them on the loose. There are some religions who don't want you to read the Bible because it contradicts what they want us to believe. The Bible contradicts what they tell us we're supposed to believe. There's a spirit of Antichrist who suggests to us that the Bible is not true. The Bible is full of contradictions. And it will take thoughts and reasoning of Antichrist spirit-led men and women and try to convince us that there is a better way. There is another way. Maybe, you know, if you'll look over here, you'll find that the history behind this group of people is that there was an angel who appeared to somebody and what he had to say contradicted what was in the Bible. So we had to get rid of the Bible and write a book to back up what this angel had to say to us. Or look over here and we find an infallible man with thousands and even millions of people saying he can't do wrong. He must be right. He has to be right. Saying I decree that we must live according to this plan and according to this plan, and therefore we cannot use the Bible because the Bible doesn't back us up. And then we find all these various sects and denominations and religions, people proclaiming that there are some things in the Word of God that are old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. That the Bible was written for people back then, but not now. Now we need something modern. We need something up to date. Something that'll fit our age. Something that'll fit into our times, our busy schedule, our way of living. Some watered down, easy to receive plan. So what does Antichrist spirit do? Does away with water baptism by immersion. Says just sprinkle a little bit on their head. That'll be enough. The Antichrist spirit says even if you don't want to do that, just say, you know, it's okay whether you do or whether you don't. Ignore what the Bible teaches. The Antichrist spirit says to us, And it's okay if you want to live in sin a little bit, because nobody can live without sinning every day. After all, it's a just God, and a just God wouldn't send your grandmother to hell just because she didn't understand. An Antichrist spirit will suggest to us that God doesn't answer prayer anymore, that prayers are okay if you want to pray, but you can't see miracles today and you can't see healings today because that all went out of existence many hundreds of years ago. The Antichrist spirit denies God in every way, distorts God's word every opportunity he gets, always tries to offset any manifestation of the power of God, and always has an alternate plan, something that gives you a choice so that you can't really just follow God's plan because there has to be another way. And he usually has a few flashing lights to go with his way. Antichrist is like a snake crawling through every avenue of life, touching every human life. And anywhere there is a movement, if it's not in an Antichrist direction, there is a threat that you can get snake bit. Always trying to confuse, to entice, to cause people to look away from the real, honest, absolute truth of the Almighty God. Sometimes we see him manifested through people who are being violent. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about violence? People who abuse one another. We see the spirit of Antichrist rise up in people's lives when they become angry and they strike at each other. We see the spirit of Antichrist rise up through crime and people who are going against the good laws of the land that were put together to protect us. We see the spirit of Antichrist moving through human minds, causing people to try to find ways to feed something that would cause them to become perverted. We can see the spirit of Antichrist at work as small children line up in front of their television sets with scenes flashing before their eyes, things happening that they are absorbing in their young minds, the very things that God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. For those very things that our young children today are looking at along with their parents and their grandparents and their neighbors and their live-in boyfriends and girlfriends. And a lot of children don't even know who their parents are because the spirit of Antichrist has woven its way into every avenue of human life. So busy, so available, and so much determined to destroy anything that is of God, the spirit of Antichrist won't stop, will not let up, and will not have any mercy on anybody, and has no regard for your feelings, what it's going to do to you. Because all he wants to make sure of is that you don't end up your life following Christ. And all the way from the time you're born until the day you die, there is going to be that spirit with you that is going to try to keep you from knowing Jesus Christ for yourself. There's going to be that spirit that was waiting for you to be born, that will stalk you, it'll follow you, it'll watch every move you make. And if you make a move toward God, It will surround you with all kinds of hatred and doubt and confusion and bitterness and jealousies and get you so distracted that you may never find the true and living God. Wouldn't it be awful to wake up someday to the awareness that the direction you've been going for years, as a result of somebody leading you, is a direction that is not of God, is taking you away from God, and is going to cause you to be lost forever? Wouldn't that be an awful sudden awareness, just to come to the realization that my friends who taught me and my loved ones who guided me through my growing up, my Sunday school teachers, my preachers, and all my examples that I looked up to led me in a direction that was taking me away from truth, away from God, and leading me into a path that would be filled with nothing but destruction and darkness forever? Wouldn't that be an awful way to suddenly find yourself having spent years of wanting to serve God and come to the awareness you had followed a spirit of Antichrist? You say, is that possible? It's happening everywhere. It's all around us. It's a horrible thing to suddenly wake up and realize you've been tricked. You've been hoodwinked. You've been trapped. Spirits of darkness, ready to confine you in a situation where you can't get out. I was in a nursing home this week, and Brother Wall and I went, and we were singing, and we were testifying to some elderly people, senior citizens. He was singing that beautiful song, "Reach Out and Take Somebody by the Hand." And he reached out, and you could see people as tears were coming in their eyes. And I was watching these elderly folks as they looked around at each other to see if anybody noticed. And it seemed like there was an extra amount of backwardness. They were a little bit shy, and they didn't want anybody to notice they had become a little emotional, that something had touched their hearts. And I testified about some good things God did for my life. And again, I saw tears come in people's eyes. Beautiful, beautiful complex where many senior citizens have spent many years, and many, many thousands of dollars have been spent to see that they're well taken care of. The gentleman that took us into this place after the service was over introduced us to the person in charge of all of these activities and said to this lady, "This is Pastor Rutledge and Brother Don Wall, and maybe you could work something out so they could come here and sing and minister on a regular basis." This lady looked at me and said, "That all depends on whether or not you can go according to the plan that we have in this nursing home." She said, "You see, Pastor Rutledge, we have a policy here that once you reach the age of 85 years of age, we don't allow people to be converted." That's what she said, isn't it? And she said, "We cannot allow you to come and minister here if your intention is to convert these senior citizens." Well, why would I want to go? You know what that was? It was a spirit of Antichrist. What she was doing was setting herself up in a position for the devil to guard against the possibility of any person in that trap If they ever heard the glorious gospel that could set them free, if they ever came to the awareness that they'd been lost all these years, the devil wanted to make certain that there was no way that they could ever be converted. And he has these people right here in our city, trapped. Trapped. Like in a cage, waiting to die and go to hell. Her attitude was, if anyone in this nursing home is an atheist, we're going to support that belief until the day they die. We don't want anybody to upset that. If anybody in this nursing home claims to be any kind of religion, of any religious persuasion, she said, the only way we can have you minister here is if you will respect that belief and encourage them in what they already believe. Phony baloney! Devil, you're a liar! I'm not going to pat the devil on the back and say it's okay to be Antichrist. I'm not going to pat the devil on the back and say it's okay to not allow people to be converted. I want to tell you, no matter what age you are, it's okay to get converted. If you're 100 years old and you see the truth, it's okay to change your mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's going to take care of that need. I just know either that woman's going to get converted or she's going to get out of the way. Because I know there are some people in that nursing home have been touched by the presence of the Lord and they want more of what they felt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, it's kind of like a have you ever been to a zoo? You ever been to a zoo where animals are kept? Sometimes in these large metropolitan areas where you have a large zoo, a place where, you know, people can look upon the wild animals, the beast, sometimes you'll notice there'll be little infant animals in these places that have been born there. They have come to birth in captivity. They have come to birth in a place that seemed all right. And to these little animals, that zoo, that place was their world. They didn't know any other world. They didn't know anything in life except to dwell in the place where they had been born. That reminds me of a lot of people I know. We've been born in a world of sin. Immediately, in captivity by the devil, who does not want us to ever know that there is some freedom out here available for us. Do you know why these people here say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and clap our hands, and we jump up and down sometimes, and we sing songs, and we just get emotional, and we have a good time? You know why? It's because we've been set free. We've been set free. We got freedom. We found out we didn't have to live in a cage. We found out we didn't have to be stared at by a bunch of spirits that wanted to destroy us. We found out that we didn't have to be manipulated by people who were feeding us, by spirits that were feeding us, spirits bringing us sin and corrupting us. We didn't have to be captivated by that. We found out that there is somebody who could set us free. Hallelujah. And these folks who cannot have freedom to worship God. Anytime somebody tells you that you're not supposed to be free, why don't you ask that spirit, do you believe Jesus has come in the flesh? See what happens. Some folks are like a little calf in a stall. You know, the farmer is raising the cattle. He's feeding the cow. Beautiful calf is born, and he nourishes and takes care of and grooms, waters it, feeds it. And he brags about this cow, how beautiful it is, how it's growing. It's so pretty. It's so pretty. It won't be long. It won't be long. It won't be long. We're going to take it to the market. Look how beautiful the cow is. Look how healthy the cow is. What do? They take it downtown, take a big old axe or a big club or something, go boom! Knock it in the head, take a knife and cut its throat, slice it up and kill it. That's what the devil wants to do to every one of us. Spiritually, we are in the devil's slaughterhouse, passing through this life. And especially if you have said that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, I want you to know that if there ever is an open door of opportunity for Satan to come in, he is going to slaughter you. He's going to break your spirit if he can. He's going to hurt you and devour you. But if you never escape from the trap that you're already in, if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to get away. You're still going to be devoured. Amen. These are pretty good notes. Hallelujah. See what else I wrote here. Praise God. The devil looks at people with education and says, "My, look how brilliant my child is. You know, watch my child advance. Getting real smart." Calls a bunch of evil spirits up and says, "Look at this child. Knows math. Knows English. Knows how to draw and do artwork. Talented musician. My, what a beautiful child of the devil. What a beautiful child of Satan. What a beautiful child that is doing anything that the devil wants him to do." And all of a sudden, that talented individual, that person that has some education, that person that has some quality in life, hears somebody say, "Jesus came to set you free." And they turn around and they look, and the devil says, "Don't listen! Don't listen! Don't listen to that! Don't listen to that! It's in the Word of God. Don't listen to it. Don't listen." Next thing you know, you're surrounded with all kinds of confusion. Your family, your daddy, your mother, your sister, your brother, your aunts, your uncles, your neighbors, your employer. They all come and say, don't get mixed up in this. You're going to go off the deep end. No way, Jose. They already off the deep end. We're trying to rescue you. All this weird stuff, clapping hands and praising God. What's weird about it? People of God have been doing that ever since before Jesus came. You read in the Old Testament examples how they raised their hand and said, "Praise the Lord!" In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, there is prophecy that says, in the day in which we live, concerning our day, in that day, they shall say, "Praise the Lord." Everybody say, "Praise the Lord."
Praise the Lord.
And it says, "And with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." If you're in a place of confinement where the preacher says, "You can't do that here," get out!
I can't get out. Yes, you can. Jesus came to set you free. Get away, devil. Get away, devil. Jesus came to rescue you. Jesus came to open up the door.
Hallelujah. But I'm too old. I'm too set in my ways. I've been locked just too many years. I don't know what I'm doing. Jesus knows what He's doing. What would happen if you would allow your spirit to just start believing God? Take His word to your heart and say, Jesus, come into me. Whatever I have to do to adjust to your spirit, Lord, I'm willing. If you can do that, Jesus will drive away everything that's wrong and replace it with everything that's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I hear a lot about this ignorance of the truth, people not walking in light, and how that God understands if you don't know. I don't know where all that's coming from. I hope it's true. But just in case it's not, and since you're here, you may as well know the whole truth. The only one way to be saved, that's through total repentance from your sins. Turn away from sin and look to Jesus for help. And ask Him to help you. Ask Him to give you strength. Tell Him you're sorry that you were going the wrong way. Mean it with all your heart and ask Him to lead you in the right way. Don't depend on me. Don't depend on your brother or your sister. Depend on Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself will minister to you and He will lead you in the right direction. And His Word will come alive in your heart and you will know what to do. The only way. And there is no other plan. Any other plan is coming from the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist that does not want you to see this. The only way to be saved, according to the Bible, is through repentance, baptism by immersion in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. That's washing your sins away. And being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said Holy Ghost. The Antichrist wants you to say Holy Spirit. It's okay to say Holy Spirit, but since the Antichrist wants me to say it that way, I'm going to say Holy Ghost. Just like Peter did. Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. I like to talk about the Holy Ghost. I like to hear people say, ooh, I don't want to say it like that. Let's say Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost! Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost! Hallelujah. It's the same thing. But there's something about when the devil doesn't like the way we say it, I like to say it the way he doesn't like it. Let's clap our hands to the Lord and thank Him. Praise God. Amen. I went to visit some of my friends when I was a child. One of them's name was Billy the Kid. I don't remember the other one's name. But they were goats. Real live goats. How many of you ever seen a goat? Billy the Kid used to run after me. I would go out on old Mr. Berry's farm, and I could always tell when Billy the Kid found me because there'd be something behind me going, ooh. Play with me, and I'd run from him. He'd run from me, and I'd try to ride him, and he'd buck, and I'd fall off, and I'd kick him around, and we just had a big time. I love that old goat. I'm not talking about your husband or your wife. I love that old goat. And one day, my father, the pastor of our church, made an announcement, and it really sounded good. He said, "This weekend we're going to have a barbecue dinner." And he said, "We have a friend here who has a new recipe on barbecue sauce, and we're going to have barbecue goat." And I thought, "Boy, that sounds good." And I couldn't wait till the weekend came so I could have barbecue goat. Never had had it before, but, you know, it sounded okay to me. And on Saturday morning, my dad said, "You want to go with me out to Lee Berry's farm?" I said, "Sure, because I wanted to go see the kid. I wanted to go play with my friends." He took me out to that farm, and there was Billy the kid and the other goat. And Mr. Berry was doing something I'd never seen him do before. He was tying my friends up. I went out there to play with my goat friends. He tied up their feet. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "It's going to be all right. Just stand back." And I watched him. He took Billy the kid. Now, I may cry when I tell you this because I remember it like it was yesterday. Broke my heart. They took my friend Billy, tied up his feet, hung him up on a big old pole upside down, took a big long knife, and I said, "What are you doing?" Took that big old knife to Billy's throat, and Billy said, "Ah!" And I said, "Ah! Don't! It was too late. Billy's throat was cut. Blood everywhere and his head was just flopping. And my other friend was hanging there upside down crying, No! Anyway, that's what it sounded like. I know I was crying, no. I hid behind a tree. I thought they were going to get me too. Those are some of my best friends. I hid behind a tree. I said, "Oh, no, they killed my Billy." And those nasty church people, you wouldn't believe what they did to my Billy. They never would have let me take Billy to church while he was alive. But they took my Billy, cut him up into little bitty pieces, sliced him up, and put little pieces of Billy on a barbecue grill with fire on it, and cooked his hide. And I stood there and I watched Billy fry. I couldn't stand it. It turned my stomach. It made me sick. And I watched those nasty church people. They picked up some plates and forks and knives, and they're going, They stood in line. About 100 people stood in line. And they took their forks and they gouged Billy and took up big old pieces of his burnt hide and put it in their plates. And I sat down and watched those nasty church people eat Billy up. I didn't eat. I've never eaten goat in my life, and I never will. Every time I see a goat, I think about how they murdered Billy, how they brought him to an open shame. There was nothing he could do. Kind of funny, isn't it? You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus, one of the teachings of Jesus Christ is that there's going to come a time when some people are going to be considered as goats in the eyes of God. Others are going to be considered as sheep. And the ones that are like goats are going to be burned and hurt. And the ones that are like sheep are going to live forever. Now, if I were you, and I didn't know which one I was, a goat or a sheep, I'd be trying to figure it out. Because you might end up like Billy. You say, would a just God do that to me? Well, there is a plan in the Word of God that says that everything that's of sin and everything that's of a lie and everything that works abominations against God, every spirit that's not of Christ, will last forever in a torment place, and we call it hell. The religious society says don't say that word in the pulpit, but they sure don't mind saying it on the street. They'll say, I've been going through hell. They don't know what they're talking about. And I've heard people say, you know, concerning their sinner loved ones or friends who passed away, thank God his suffering is over. What do you mean? Suffering over? You didn't live for God? You wouldn't live for God? You wouldn't seek out truth? You wouldn't try to find how to please God and follow God? You never bothered to find out how to be saved? How to know God for yourself? And so finally you died? Your suffering's over? No, you just jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. These people that commit suicide, all they're doing is taking a shortcut to hell. And the devil doesn't like me to say that, but I'm telling you, if you don't get right with God, you are going to go to hell. Now that ought to scare anybody. They say, well, that's old-fashioned. They used to preach like that in the 1800s. They still preach like that right here in the 1990. And on the last day when the trumpet sounds, Jesus is still going to be saying it. You know, well, I like to hear good news. Well, the good news is this. You don't have to go to hell. Amen. The good news is this. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to suffer. You don't have to be divided as one of the goats, but you can be one of the sheep, one of the lambs. You know what Jesus did? He saw all of us in our predicament, and he knew that the spirit of Antichrist would be trying to persuade us, lead us, devour us, destroy us, humiliate us, and just in every way distract us from being able to follow him. You know what Jesus did? He said, let me become a goat for everybody. He became a scapegoat. He came. And Jesus became like Billy the Kid for the entire human race. They hung him on a pole. They hung him on a cross. They slaughtered him. They bruised him. They brought him to an open shame. They pierced him. He was a scapegoat for humanity. But he was the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world so that you wouldn't have to go through that. And I want to tell you, the spirit of Antichrist wants to do that to every one of you. And if Jesus hadn't done that for you, it would be impossible for you to escape the punishment that is reserved for the devil and everybody that the devil has captured. Praise God. Let me get rid of some of these notes so I can bring this to a close. Amen. I don't like to talk about Billy the Kid. People that ate my friend. Hallelujah. Boy, isn't that great? Got rid of 2 or 3 minutes there. Amen. Here's something I wrote down you might want to hear if you haven't heard this. A little boy was walking on the seashore early in the morning, and millions of starfish had been washed ashore during the night, and they were still alive, and they were, you know, the sun was coming out, and they were about to be scorched. It wouldn't be long before there would be millions of them for miles and miles and miles along the seashore that would be dead out of the water, that couldn't make it back into the water. And this little boy was running up and down the edge of the sea crying and throwing starfish back into the sea as fast as he could. And a man passing by said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to save these starfish. He said, son, with all these thousands upon thousands of fish, how do you think you can possibly make a difference? He picked up another little live fish and he said, for this one, it'll make a difference. And he threw it into the sea. Hallelujah.
Tonight, this message may not make a difference for a lot of dying people outside these walls, but for you, tonight could be the turning point of your life. Let us close our eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're not here to attack religions. We're here to attack the false ideas that the devil has projected through humanity to try to distract and distort the truth. And we're not running from the devil. We're running into the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not afraid of him. He's afraid of us. And tonight you have some protection around you if you would like to come to Jesus and get to know him for yourself. We're not here to offer you a watered-down plan that has been changed by the Antichrist system. But we're here to take you all the way back to the original truth of the original church, just as it was preached in the beginning. Nothing has been changed. The same glorious gospel that was preached 2,000 years ago is just the same today. And it'll take this gospel to set you free. All other gospels that are not in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ are of the Antichrist, and they will keep you captivated until you are separated on the left hand of God to burn forever in a devil's hell. You say, well, I never heard anything like this. Thank God for that you finally came here and you can hear it. Hallelujah. There have been a lot of animals born in captivity that never, they lived their entire lives and never knew what it was to run free. But they didn't have a soul. You were born in captivity, and you're given an opportunity to be free. And tonight, your soul can find the resting place it's looking for. Your spirit can find hope. Let us stand together and go to God in prayer. Hallelujah. While we're praying, if there's somebody that would like to come up here and say, I want to make sure that I'm not being led of some bad spirit or something that's not of Christ. I want to make sure that things are all right in my life. You don't have to understand all there is to know in order to be able to make this kind of a decision. When you make this kind of a turn, God takes you by the hand and He starts teaching you. And He will reveal to you His wonderful nature, His true love, and cause you to be able to follow His plan, and the devil can't stop you. Because Jesus Himself is greater than the devil, and He will fight your battles for you. Hallelujah. While we pray, is there somebody that would like to come up to this altar and say, I don't know what all to do, but I'm up here and I just want to make sure that I'm right with God. Amen. Or maybe you do know what to do. Just come on. You're welcome. Whoever you are, we'll be glad to pray with you that God will not let you be lost, that you will be sure that you can be saved, be free, be set free, and know you're walking in truth. Anybody's welcome. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.